Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm a feminist, but if I met John Hamm in a dark bar and he was alone, and I said, hey, can I buy you a drink? And he said, no, but can I buy you one? And I said, yes, why not? And he said, what do you do? And I said, I'm a comedian, but I'm best known for a podcast. And he said, that's so funny. I was literally just listening to a podcast. I was listening to... Do you know Joe Rogan? I'd pretend I hadn't heard him and change the subject and then fuck him.
Jeffrey, that is my favourite one you've done for ages. I love that.
I would. I'd just change the subject. I just think he mustn't have said that. He couldn't have said that. But I wouldn't,
John,
I wouldn't investigate.
John.
Hmm? Pardon?
What was that?
Oh, he's an absolute weapon.
Yeah, he's a sort of men's rights activist, sort of like you can't say anything anymore, and is sort of he's not
feminist.
He's not. I'm so sorry. I have to hear names three times unless I do a mnemonic. Okay, if I have, that's a confessional for me, not for you. So we can't really confess on behalf of others.
I did not think that Kingston would turn out to be our first really heckly one.
No.
We've toured this show to Plymouth and it was fine. Yeah.
Was it? It was a hen night of a show, that show.
That was fucking great, actually.
Okay. Just sorry, I forgot. I have to be reminded of names. Just can you just tell me again?
I'm Maria.
Maria and Athene. Okay, I'll need to write that down. Maria and Athene. The reason I think I should know is I feel I'm going to speak to you again without. It just seems apparent, so I don't want to. I don't want to keep being rude. I'd rather say early on in the interaction, "I'm so sorry, I've forgotten your name," than let it go so long that you can't. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
I'm a feminist, but last night when I saw that Harry Styles' trousers had ripped open in his concert,
I spent nearly an hour online watching all the different videos of it. Desperately trying to catch just a flash of his giblets.
Surely he wears pants. Doesn't he wear underwear?
I've looked from every angle, every audience video of that I have zoomed in on. And it's all shadow and leg.
Oh, my God. I still remember Harry Styles when he was a little boy on the... Isn't he just like 16 on X Factor?
Moving on. No.
No.
He could...
I mean, if you actually got close to him, you wouldn't know whether
he
to...
He could grow a beard if he wanted to now, and I would be that beard.
I just feel if I were backstage alone with Harry Styles, I wouldn't know whether to snog him or breastfeed him.
Unbelievable.
I told you it might be borderline tonight. You were warned. I'm a feminist, but last night I took my goddaughter to the Box Burlesque Club in London for her 18th birthday, a club so decadent and hedonistic that some of the acts were so depraved, I kink-shamed them in my head and with my face and with my mouth to my friends. I was just like, oh, my God. But what happens to me in those situations? Does anyone here know the Box has been to the Box? Just give us a cheer. Yeah, just a few people. It's extraordinary, isn't it? Like, it's an amazing experience. I'm so glad I went. And I'll take you. But you just have to be ready. And also, you will never be able to get ready.
I hosted a burlesque night once. Mm. And the final act, it was involuntary. I screamed.
It was so shocking to me. Yeah. And I thought I couldn't be shocked.
I want to know what shocked you. I'll tell you what shocked me.
You tell me.
I was hosting it and I knew it was going to be odd when they went, you can just host it like a normal stand-up. I was like, good. I mean, I am sort of a normal... I don't do burlesque. And they were like, no, it's fine. Could you dress as a pirate? So I just got a baggier shirt than normal. And then, actually, it was amazing. I found the whole night fascinating and gorgeous and glorious. But the last act, I didn't see what was coming. I'm quite naive. I thought she was just doing lovely dancing around a chair. She pulled an enormous necklace out of her tuppence and swacked a load of twat juice all over the audience, spinning it round. And I, when the necklace came out, I went, ah! What's your mama? No, I didn't say that. I was like, whoa, Nelly, snipping neck.
Why do you become...
You could see the audience going like, ugh, yeah, oh, very nice. Good burlesque.
Why do you become Kramer from Seinfeld when you see something outrageous in burlesque?
It's involuntary, my exclamations, and those are my two at the moment. This was a while ago.
In those situations, I think I'm going to be super cool, but I always become Louis Theroux. Like, I just don't know what to do with my face, so I go... And at one point, there was an act who was a ballet dancer, and she was on point, but she was also pretty naked and doing extraordinary things. But there was a sort of S&M element to it at the same time. And I leaned over to my friend and said, well, those ballet lessons paid off, didn't they? I'm not sure it was what her mum had in mind when she was dropping her off on a Wednesday afternoon, on a Saturday morning, driving her to back. I'm just not sure it was what she had. But she was absolutely amazing. And we were all so incredibly impressed by her, you know, abilities.
How do you follow that? I'm a feminist, but I had an experience recently that's made me think I might have to buy some new tits. And I didn't think I was ever going to be that guy. But it's got to the point now where... So the other day, my partner put her arm around me and then in like, you know, like a sort of invited sexual harassment, nice, sexy way, went to touch, you know, went to squeeze my boob. And they were too far down. It was too far down.
She had hands, had to kick
them. She's got quite a long arm. And she couldn't reach. And I
it became so clear what she was trying to do, and she didn't, good on her, she didn't like try and slither away and pretend it hadn't happened. I basically had to scoop it up from around my waist and lift it back up and sort of just at least just to get it high enough that she could at least give it a pat. I'm not someone who, I don't give a fuck, you know, all tits are great tits, etc. But when it gets to that point where you're having to sort of scrapple it back up off your waistline, I'm going to have to get some sort of reinforced upper pant if they keep getting lower and lower. They're like a couple of empty fucking socks. And that, I don't want to have to scoop them up for her. Maybe, I don't know.
Listen, those breasts have breastfed your son.
Oh, God.
They're beautiful. Number one. Number two, the answer is, if you're having a romantic night in, pop a bra on, pop a Wonder Bra on.
I don't want to keep a bra on the whole time.
No, but if you're having a sexy night in.
That there was, to be clear, Deborah, I did have a bra on. So much a bra can do, Debs.
Well, I mean, in that case, the bra's doing a lot of the heavy lifting, but not enough.
It is.
I think you just need a better bra. I don't think that's about you at all. I think that's about a better bra. I really, really do. I really, really do. I don't think it's you, and I don't think you should get new tits. Of course, anyone who wants augmented breastage situations, no judgment from me at all. I genuinely think everyone should have what they want. If they're clear-headed and they want it and they're not being overly influenced by the patriarchy. Can I do another one? Because I get lost in this subject.
I wonder if it still counts for the patriarchy if you're doing it so that you can pop it into another woman's hand more easily.
That's the real... Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There we go.
I don't know.
More of an I'm a feminist hand.
What I do know is I'm making my Louis Theroux face. What do I do? How do I look? I'm a feminist, but backstage there was a running gag about Tom being my husband, which he is, but it wasn't clear at first that he was. He just pruriently, it sounded like he pruriently started discussing details of my life. And I had to explain to our guest, just to be clear, he doesn't just work for the theatre. He's not talking about my fertility issues. And she thought, I think he was a stage manager or something, and was like, he seems to know a lot. And I went, it's my husband, as well as the producer of the show. And she went, oh. And then Jess said something, and he actually chipped in something for Jess as well. And I went, oh, he's also married to Jess. And then I looked at her and went, you do know if you do this podcast, you become a sister wife. And I was very pleased with that joke. I think she's still not sure. Because she said, my agent mentioned something, but I can't remember what it was now.
I'm a feminist, but this week I realised I've historically confused a desire to get absolutely hammered with what might actually turn out to be sort of normal physical thirst. Have you ever done this? I've never had this happen before. Because actually, I've been drinking loads of booze in the last few years. But I had a really stressful week at work, right? The hack joke is that comedians get up late and blah, blah, blah. Actually, especially the women that do this job, generally, most of us are never not a woman on the edge. And we're all over, like, self-employed life, like, it's hard. I've had a really hard week. Lots getting up at 5:30 to do a load of writing before my son gets up. Writing every single crack of the day, like, losing my mind. It's all coming to an end soon. But a script that I've been really through the mill with, going back and forth, back and forth, finally got signed off, right? And I had this feeling of being like... Oh God, I'd love to get cunted. Like, I just thought, I'd really love that. But I was like on my way to work to a gig in the car, so it wasn't going to happen.
No, it wasn't appropriate time.
I stopped for petrol and bought myself just a bottle of Fanta, and I drank it and really enjoyed it. I thought, it turns out actually I was just thirsty. This is sad. And now I realise like a lot of my 20s,
you were just
have been spent. I was just gasping. I was just dehydrated. I spent my 20s munted. And I think I could have just drunk a few more fizzy
drinks.
Pops.
Yeah, yeah.
Live from the Rose Theatre in Kingston, the Spontaneous Shop presents The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Francis-White, guest co-host Jessica Mostafue, and our very special guest, Catherine Cohen, talking about confessions. This is The Guilty Feminist, the podcast in which we explore our noble goals as 21st century feminists and the hypocrisies and insecurities which
undermine them.
Thank you. It's as close as I'll ever get to singing Hey Jude. I'm Deborah Francis-White. With me is Jessica Vostercue, and we are talking about confessions. That's right.
Hello!
It was such a...
What snazzy theatre.
It's quite sexy, isn't it?
Yeah, I've had a stand-up gig here, and I stank it out. Because it wasn't you, lovely lot. It was your Tory parents. It was hard work. I've already, just from a cut of your jib standing backstage, realised you are. Thank God. Lovely.
Give us a
that.
Cheer if you've got Tory parents. Did they enjoy Jess Foster-Q's show more than they seem to?
Oh, Nelly.
No. Okay.
Walkouts. There were walkouts.
Do you have any Catholicism in your background? Confessionally
None.
Style things? Any times in your life where you've had to confess?
Oh.
In a big way? Do you enjoy
Probably.
Confessing to things?
Well,
do you like getting things off your chest?
I have. I'm just coming to the end of a tour of a show in which I confess to having, I think, made an error in the sense that... So I've been doing stand-up, as of a few weeks ago, for 15 years.
Oh,
I know,
congratulations.
I think I'd be better at it, but I'm a feminist, but I sometimes read about myself.
That's so self-deprecating.
No, thank you.
Nominated for the Edinburgh Comedy Award.
Thank you, I am
Huge
good at
solo
it now.
Touring artist.
I don't have a problem with saying I'm good at it now. I'm good at it now. But what is interesting, I think, is that 15 years in, it's only about a year and a half ago that I genuinely looked around and thought, I'm not sure all the other comedians are actually telling the truth. And
they're making it up.
I did think we had to.
Did you? Did you
and
think
I
it all had to be confessional?
I have given away every single fact, truth, secret. That my Wikipedia page is 100% fucking accurate.
Oh, that was an error.
That's disgusting,
yeah,
isn't it?
That was an error.
It's sort of almost insulting I haven't got any stalkers or clones. My date of birth's on there.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
I fucked it so hard. I've got nothing left to give away. There's no, like, I'm not an open book, sort of like a permanently wrenched open book that you can't ever close. I love just saying the actual truth about what happened. I've had to get wiser as I've got older, even about giving away, because it's all going to well being confessional, but then you sort of, in doing so, you give away things about other people who've been in your life, especially close to you. So I've really had to sort my shit out.
There. Yeah, there is an old proverb that says it's a curse to have a writer in the family.
Ah, is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, and people fall out with their families because they tell it all. When I was younger, I remember saying to a friend, oh no, there's certain things I wouldn't say or do on stage because I'd be worried about what my mum thought. And she said, well, then you're not a proper artist. And it's always been burnt into my brain. So I've tried to get braver and braver. And honestly, as I've got further away geographically from my family, and my mum doesn't really know how to use the internet, I have got so much braver, just because I assume she will never hear it. And I suspect if she did, she would pretend she hadn't and everything would be fine.
Lovely.
So that's how I've got brave. But I wouldn't want to go on stage and be like, you know, there's things that I couldn't, you know, say. But also, I feel like, I have to do 52 shows a year. There are things that I didn't mean to say, but I needed content desperately in the moment. 52 hours of content a year, at least.
Yeah.
And it all has to be new because it's a podcast. And of course, sometimes I repeat myself, but if I do, people complain. So I've got to, 52 hours of stuff. I mean, obviously other people are there as well, but there's a lot of stuff. That requires a lot of stuff. Yeah. So I've told all sorts of things that I regret.
Me
All
too.
Sorts.
And my list of people in my life who I'm not allowed to do any material about anymore is huge now.
Oh, do they tell you? They say don't.
Mum, band,
oh, yeah.
Banned?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
My son's dad. No more. Banned.
Oh, banned. And they've actually... And have you stuck by that enforced, yeah, that ban? You've said, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
if you told us something tonight, they're not here.
Yeah.
So we could edit it out.
Yeah.
So if you need to get something off your chest about them,
God, we could so just many have a... Things.
Okay.
So many things.
All right. Well, I'm going to save that now till we have our amazing guest on. All right. Are you ready for some stand-up comedy? Then please welcome on stage the incredible Jessica Foster Kew.
Hiya. Recently, I've been commissioned by a high street chain to write loads of jokes about poo-poo and other bodily functions to raise awareness about gut health. So I've got a lot of leftover jokes about gut health. You're welcome, Kingston. Okay, right. These are the leftover jokes. And I think, by the way, I think it's really good to talk about gut health. I think especially, and I think it feels feminist to talk about gut health, because I think women especially are sometimes still in a culture of it not being unladylike to talk about their shits. So we should, because it's really important. So anyway, so here we go. Do you remember that Hearsay song, Look Inside Yourself? Well, it turns out it's actually about looking at your own poos to see if your gut's healthy. God, they're ahead of their time. Over half of us are putting up with bloating and gas. Sorry, that noise is insensitive. It's very written, isn't it? But if we can just get on board with the energy. Some women are especially shy to talk about farts because they think it's not cool or ladylike. But not me, because guys, we all fart. Even Beyonce farts. Sure, she's got 28 Grammys, but albums aren't the only thing she drops. I'm actually from a family of, I would say, quite elite pro-level farters. hashtag blessed. The best one I've ever done, I was wearing lots of layers and on quite a sort of like, quite a sort of leathery sofa. And amazingly, the fart came out and it sounded like 1,000 birds all leaving a cage at once. Even Rory Bremner can't do that impression, not of his bumhole. My dad, some of you are loving it and loads hating. And my dad is impressive too. He did a guff once so long, right, and so tuneful that it sounded like a bugle honouring a fallen soldier. Before I knew what was happening, I was standing bolt upright and saluting. I had tears in my eyes. Actually, that could have been the fumes. Next theme, constipation. Debs, are you okay?
Being well.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, keep going. Okay. It's important for me. This is confessional. The theme is confessional. Okay. You're doing great.
Don't fire me. Okay, constipation. Right. I was once on the toilet for so long that I went in with a newspaper, and by the time I came out, I understood quantitative easing. The irony! The alternative isn't great either, though. Diarrhea, sometimes caused by stress, which cruelly often brought on by trying to spell it. Acid reflux sounds like a party movement from the 90s, but in reality, it's even worse than that. My tummy makes quite loud growling noises, which are officially called... Does anyone already know? I bet someone here does. Pop quiz, do you know what the science name is for tummy gurglings? Yes, borborygmi. Well done. Borborygmi. It sounds very snazzy. It makes it sound like a sophisticated succulent you might have in your conservatory. Not mine. Acid reflux is like a terrible film sequel no one asked for. Roast Dinner 2, Revenge of the Fifth Potato. Just when you thought it was safe, it's back. And this time, it's on fire. The dream poo. And we're all on the quest for the perfect poo, is, in my opinion, one where it's effortless but gloriously efficient. Where, like, the poo-poo's chief of command has flown them home to safety and it's time for these boys to parachute back down to their loved ones. And he's going, go, 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 all out, no man left behind. And then afterwards, it's as if they were never there at all. As much as I'm honoured to be part of any campaign that supports and promotes gut health, I don't really want to mainly be remembered for jokes about shit. I'm above that. Anyway, thanks for listening. I've been Jessica Foster-Poo. Foster-Poo. No. Thank you. Please welcome to the mic, Deborah Francis Wise.
Hello, 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 Rose Theatre. It's wonderful to be here. I don't think we've ever come to Kingston before. This is new for us. Thank you so much for coming out and demonstrating it wasn't a poor decision. Thank you. Has anyone schlepped into London before to see The Guilty Feminists? Give us a cheer. Are you really thrilled that we've come out here saying we were the ones to have to catch the train? Yeah. Well, absolutely, because a lot of people don't bother, you know. They just loiter around. And not us. It's only taken 7 years and 4 months. And we're here now, and that's the main thing. And it's so nice not to be at home, isn't it? To be out in this post-pandemic world where I can touch you. If I want to, I don't know. Is that allowed? Is it allowed? Can we just do a fist bump? Excellent. Super. Lovely. Hopefully no one got COVID during that fist bump. I don't think so. I just tested. I haven't got it. So if anyone gets COVID out of that fist bump, it's your fault. I instigated it, though, so we'll call it even. What was that? I consented. This is the kind of feminism you can expect to see all evening. I consented before any interaction with any audience members. Nay, comedian, I will say, do I have consent for you to do stand-up comedy? Do I have consent? Yes, yes, yes. You're consenting to seeing stand-up comedy. That was implied when you bought the ticket, I'm afraid. That was implied, not each individual. Can you imagine if the show was me asking each individual, do you consent to seeing stand-up comedy? Do you consent to seeing stand-up comedy? The time would have run out. Listen, it's so wonderful to see you. Give us a cheer if you listen to The Guilty Feminists at home. Yeah! Give us a cheer if you don't know what you're at. Yeah! Okay, you were very keen there. Can I just ask you, what was that?
I'm very eager, I just can't help myself.
You're very eager and you can't help yourself. Interestingly, though, did you come? Why are you here? If not, I mean, delighted you are here. Don't mean to be. What are you doing here?
I am the mother, and yes. I bought the tickets.
Oh, you're her mother.
Proud feminist.
Woo! Bought the tickets for your daughter. And do you listen to The Guilty Feminist, or you just saw there's something with feminism on at the local theatre? Oh. I love you both. That is a heartwarming story that really gives you faith in the year 2023, doesn't it? That a mother would send a link to a daughter saying, this is us. I warn you, it might not be. Might be false advertising. We don't know yet. We'll see. You know it's comedy, right? Yes, yes. Oh, good, good, good. I would agree that that is a good job. It's a good job. If you're listening at home and you didn't hear that, sorry, what's your name?
Maria.
Maria just said, it's a good job we're not fussy. If you're listening internationally, that is the official slogan of Britain. It's a good job we're not fussy. That's why we continue to vote this government in. It's a good job we're not fussy. We just say every 4 years, it's a good job we're not fussy. I think, Britain, we could afford to get a bit fussier. Don't you think? Just a bit fussier. Because are you watching the news about these cabinet ministers? These fucking cunts. I'm sorry. I know I'm in the home counties. Lying fucking cunts. Thank you. What an excellent heckle. What an excellent heckle. I know it's 5 o'clock and I'm in the home counties, but I can't help myself. I'm sorry. It's a tea time show. And I'm in either Sussex or Surrey for sure. And it's definitely in one of the ones that starts with S. And it's Surrey, isn't it? Surrey, yeah. As in, if you're listening internationally, sorry?
Surrey.
Surrey, yeah, that's what I said. I really did know it was Surrey, but I thought, just in case it's not. If you're listening internationally, it's not like with a fringe on top. It's a place. It's very, it's got very village-like qualities, hasn't it? It's a lovely, it's charming. It's a it's very charming. Every time I come to Kingston, I go, it's so charming, isn't it? It's really, really charming. It's somewhere, if you're listening internationally or even in another part of the UK and you haven't been here, it's a place you'd come for afternoon tea. What else is good about Surrey that you would sort of shout out? Wine bars. Wine bars. Anything else?
John Lewis.
John Lewis. Wow. 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 I've been to more intersectional parts of the country, I'll say that. Wine bars and John Lewis. How is Surrey for feminism? Oh my God, that was the most Surrey response. Someone went, and someone else went, woo. So it's somewhere between, and woo, for feminism. But listen, you're here. You're here. Out, out, my feminist army, my feminist army, my feminist army of imperfect queens, kings, and everything in between, monarchs, just gender-neutral monarchs. We're here. We're out in January, ready to fight the patriarchy. It's not even February yet, but here we are. We've come out in the cold on a Sunday, well wrapped up, drinking before 5 p.m, ready to... We're not those kind of fair-weather feminists that leave it till March. Leave it till it gets a bit sunnier. No, we're fucking fighting the patriarchy. First week of the month, some of us are doing Dry January. Let's be honest, not many. The first thing anyone shouted out was wine bars, which tells me how Dry January's going here in Surrey. I mean, frankly, who is anyone doing Dry January? Just give us a cheer. Oh my God. Two people. But they said it, so the most disconsolate woos in the history of woos. It's like, oh, woo. I'd rather do booze than woos. Who was doing Dry January? Give us a cheer. Yeah. They're the cheers of some extremely drunk people who are now drinking in the last 10 days of January everything they would have normally drunk between the 1st and the 31st. All right. This is confessional, so I've written something special that I'm going to confess. I don't know if it'll all go out on the podcast. I might change my mind and take it back. I would like to know why confidence arrives just as collagen is leaving the building. Sometimes have treatments to my face. Nothing invasive, just things to provoke collagen. Painful sonic wands and stuff like that. I go to Dr. Leah, who won The Apprentice. So in a way, I pay Alan Sugar for my age-defying treatments. I'm not trying to turn back time, just stop it. It has led to a number of philosophical conversations with Dr. Leah herself. I have literally sat in her chair arguing with her that what she's doing to me is in some ways not feminist. Once I won the argument, around halfway through the treatment, but I told her to keep going because there's no point going halfway with hypocrisy. If I've learnt anything from this conservative government, I've learnt that. Another time, a treatment was so painful, I shouted, stop, stop, I can't do it anymore. And she stopped. And then I shouted, no, keep going, I want to look younger. Another time, a treatment was so painful, the doctor who was administering it, wasn't Leah, said, please stop shouting because you might put off other clients. In other rooms in the clinic. I said, in that case, it's a public service. It was clear that the doctor was still keen for me to stop shouting. So I had to sing 4 verses of All That Jazz instead to deal with the pain. That is not made up. I was lying on a chair and someone had this kind of, it's like these sonic waves and sometimes they do it. It's not invasive or anything. It's just, they just do this. And it was such a painful one. Oh, my God. It was called All Therapy. And I was lying there. The only thing I could do instead of shouting, I had to shout. Otherwise, I was just lying there. I was lying down. Someone was, like, going, on my neck. And I was going, Come on, babe, why don't we paint the town and all that jazz and all that jazz. Four verses. All the choruses. I love my life. When I came to that line, that seemed a bit ironic. The technology's got a lot better, so it hurts much less now, and the results are amazing. I've sometimes had Morpheus 8 at Dr. Leah. I'm aware that sounds like an evil Marvel villain. But it really is a procedure that picks a fight with your lazy collagen until it stands up and shouts, "Do you want a piece of me?" Starts to fight back. This is not an ad, but for weeks after Morpheus 8, I look like I'm 12 years old. 6 months later, my jawline looks like it might be allowed on a television. And a woman who gave me a facial recently told me my collagen had so much bounce, she was amazed and phased and demanded to know why. I told her it was Morpheus 8. She said, "I'm booking in." When show business no longer cares what women look like, I will relax and allow my collagen to do what it wants, when it wants, and stop provoking it into jumping jacks. But honestly, Daniel Craig is 1 year younger than Julia Roberts. No, think about that. Daniel Craig is 1 year younger than Julia. Daniel Craig, as he is now, and always has been, 1 year younger than Julia Roberts. Imagine if she had his grey hair and wrinkles. Imagine his wrinkles and hair on her. Would she be paid millions of dollars to do dad dancing with vodka or to be a detective with a bad accent? No, she fucking wouldn't. The reason she's paid her that money is she's had Morpheus 8, loads of it. I don't make the rules. I know I should break the rules, but I want someone else to go first. Can it be Julia Roberts? Why should it be me? She's more beautiful than me in the first place. Why should it be me that starts? I guarantee you I'll never do anything invasive or like under the knifeless. I mean, I say I guarantee you. I don't know. That's a lot. I don't know. I don't know if I'm telling you all the things I've had. I might be lying. I might not be confessing everything. I haven't. I genuinely haven't. I take that back, Tom. Take that back. But this is my confessional. I do face stuff. I'm sorry, feminism. Never told you that before. I don't know if I leave it in. Should I leave it in?
Yeah.
Right, thank you. Can I forward the emails I'm going to get on to you?
Yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Guilty Feminists. This is Deborah, just briefly interrupting to let you know that we have a big Guilty Feminists live show for International Women's Day at Leicester Square Theatre in London on the 4th of March. Get your tickets now. It's going to be a spectacular one. We'll be in King's Place in London on the 17th of March, and we'll be at 21 Soho in London on the 18th, 19th and 20th of March. Get your tickets now. We've been having some fabulous times recently back out at live shows. We miss you. Come back out. Get tickets soon, though. because a lot of them are selling out. And please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Even if you've rated and reviewed it before, it really helps other people find it. You can rate, review, and subscribe every episode if you want to. Please give us 5 stars. And tell people about the podcast online or with your face. You can also join our Patreon to get ad-free episodes. And now back to the podcast. Our guest today is a comedian, actress, and writer based in New York. In 2019, she won the coveted title of Best Newcomer at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. She's the co-host of the popular podcast Seek Treatment. And her debut one-hour comedy special, The Twist, She's Gorgeous, is now streaming on Netflix. She is genuinely one of the funniest comedians I've ever seen, IRL or on Netflix. And she is famous for confessional comedy. Please welcome to the stage and to the mic, the incredible Catherine Cohen!
What a dramatic entrance. I'm sure it's possible to come in on this side, but I wanted the drama. Oh my God, thank you for having me. What's everyone's name? I love that. Oh, everyone looks gorgeous. Say you too. That was weird. My name is Catherine.Cohen.com. I am tall for my age, and the first time I gave a blowjob, I took a pregnancy test right afterwards. Because I was afraid the cum had trickled. I was afraid maybe the cum scientifically had trickled. Now, thankfully, the test was negative, but had it been positive, I would have 100% gotten an abortion because I believe everyone deserves access to free and safe abortions, even if they're stupid, stupid sluts who think that swallowing cum can get you pregnant. Thank you. Thank you. I had to clarify that up top since I am an American, which is, of course, humiliating. But I'm also a comedian, which is, as we can all agree, way worse. Thank you. Uncross your arms because it closes you off to opportunities from the universe. And I want everyone in this crowd to have the best night of their lives. Wow. Everyone at this point is wondering, what's her deal? And the truth is, I have a boyfriend. I do. He's back in New York. I miss him. By the way, I am jet-lagged, and I will continue to say that I'm jet-lagged for the next 6 to 8 months for dramatic effect. So if you don't like my work, oh, she's jet-lagged. If I say something and you don't like it, raise your hand and go, not funny to me. Oh. So my boyfriend's back in New York. Oh, my God, on the flight over here. I almost forgot. I'm kind of, you know, trapped. On the flight over here, a flight attendant told me I looked so comfy. In that moment, I ceased being a sexual entity. Comfy? Do I look like I value comfort above all else? In my floor-length gown in the afternoon? My God, no. Hell. My boyfriend's back in New York. He's great, but he recently became an uncle, which I think is kind of creepy. I don't want to fuck someone's uncle. Well, I didn't sign up for that. Like 5 minutes after his niece was born, I texted him. I was like, so does she seem cool? Or like, what's her deal? He didn't respond right away. I was like, oh my God, it's happened. He met someone smaller than me. Nightmare. As you can imagine, dating me is what critics and fans alike would call an immersive theatrical experience. Dating me is sleep no more. My moods, they're just up, they're down. I've just been having crazy moods ever since I found out I will one day pass. I was like, I don't like that. I am, of course, knee-deep in therapy, but I had to let my therapist go recently because I found out she, and don't tell her I said this, lifts weights in the shower, which isn't illegal per se. But doesn't it just seem kind of off? I don't know. So I'm looking for a new therapist right now. But I recently turned 31, which is one of the oldest ages you can ever be. And so people love asking if my boyfriend and I are going to get married. And it's like, of course I want to get married for attention. But I just find weddings to be humiliating. It's like, if you want to dress up cool and have everyone look at you, try being interesting, right? I mean, right? Look at us, right? No offense. No offense. No. But I am in love, and so I wrote a little love song about kind of what it's like to be with me. And, you know, it's funny. I saw a guy play one of these once, and I thought, what if girl? Shh. Oh, yeah. Rock on. If you really knew me, baby, you'd know I'm just a simple girl. There's not a whole lot, honey, I long for in this world. If you want to be with me, there's just one thing I need. That's to be the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, the sky, the air you breathe. So tell me I'm the only one you've ever loved, the only one you ever thought of, the only girl you've ever seen. You never left the house before you met me. I'm the only one you think of at night, the only one you can hold tight, the only person you've ever known. You were born the day we met, you came out full grown. I'm the only one. Tell me I'm the only one. I just need one thing from you, hon. Tell me I'm the only one. If you really knew me, honey, you'd know I'm just a chill-ass queen. I never want for nothing unless it's everything. So if you want to be with me, there's just one thing to know. Even if I wanna say no, I still want you to propose. Tell me I'm the only one you've ever met, the only one you really get, the only person you've ever kissed. But somehow you're still really good at this sex shit. Mine's the only name you've ever said. If you're not with me, you're never in a bed. You don't sleep, you don't eat, you just praise me. Even if we have a kid, you'd still only call me baby. I'm the only one. Tell me I'm the only one. I just need one thing from you, hon. Tell me I'm the only one. Thank you so much. So, I don't feel quite ready to settle down. I don't think I'm ready to be a mom, but I definitely think I could be a dad. I'd be an amazing dad. Dads are just like, pizza. Like that, that's exactly what my dad is like. My mom, on the other hand, she walks around, as most mothers do, with this quiet intensity. I think every mother walks around with like a three-act play or like a folk album within her. I realized recently she does this thing. I don't know if she knows she does it, but my mom, when she's by herself and she thinks no one's around, she'll do this thing where she just goes, Okay. I'm like, what is going on? I'm not ready. I am not ready for that inner turmoil. So I decided to freeze my eggs. Has anyone here frozen their eggs? I know, it's not that popular here. I'm quirky. Oh, this caught in my hair. Relatable. I froze my eggs. Stop, you're embarrassing yourselves. I froze my eggs. First of all, it cost $1 billion. I was like, okay, I paid for it with a credit card, which feels wrong and illegal. I was like, anyways, basically when they freeze your eggs, you pay thousands of dollars to inject yourself with these medications that are guaranteed to put you in a horrible mood. And then they put you under, compliments to the chef, love that. And they suck out your little eggs. And they actually sucked out, ready for this, 36 eggs. I said, oh my God, I'm gonna have 36 daughters. 36 backup dancers who are all going to be serving Mother Goose realness. Afterwards, my panties were a Rothko painting, and I was bloated for an eternity. And also, like, now my girls, my eggies, are just, like, hanging out in Midtown Manhattan and New York. I'm like, my dad's like, how do you know they're going to give you your eggs back? I'm like, I don't. So I do miss them, and I would love to see them again if the time comes, if I'm ready. Yeah, the whole thing's very stressful. It's very stressful. But I have this, actually, before I go, I wanted to share this amazing life hack I found out about. If anyone here has ever experienced the emotion of stress, by the way, when a doctor tells you, oh, don't worry about that, it's just from stress, I'm like, oh, so it's impossible to fix. Do you know what I mean? Wow, everyone's mad at me. Okay, so you guys need to grow up a little bit. No offense, no offense. I would die for everyone here, of course. If you're in this crowd tonight, I would take a bullet for you. What's everyone's biggest fear? Oh, a little shy. Anyways, I found this amazing life hack to relieve stress, and I'm going to share it with you before I go, if that's okay. Yeah, it's like you're supposed to cheer, but no, it's too late. It is the daytime, so I'll just be like, I get it. I am once again jet lagged. Oh my God. This town, I swear to God. Oh my God. I need a man to do this. I need a man to fix my machine. I know, I am a feminist, but I said I need a man to fix my machines, usually. Like shelves? Furniture? Sorry. I don't want to do it. It's boring. I could, but I'd be bored. And what's scarier than being bored, right? Fear worse than death. Okay. It's hard, nothing's right. I don't want to go out tonight. And even though I have a boyfriend, all I do is think about the girls he kissed before he knew me. It's hard to see the light. The days turn into the night. I can't keep track of time. Is it fast or is it slow? All I do is eat string cheese every 40 minutes. All alone, these endless days got me feeling blue. But there's one thing all of us can still do. I can make myself come with my hand. I can make myself come with my hand. There's still a lot that science doesn't understand. But I can make myself come with my hand. We'll always have that. It's true, this is a shit show, and I do not really know how I'll ever make myself make a real habit. I love to journal 3 days in a row, and then I forget. Oh, this is just hell. Don't even know how to feed myself. Should I intuitively eat, do an intermittent fast, or just think about food every second of the day till I pass? Even easy shit feels hard to do. But there's one thing that will always soothe. I can make myself come with my... I just lie there. I can make myself come with... Don't borrow my pillows. There's still a lot of science doesn't understand. But I can make myself come with my hands. Beautiful, really. Now, of course, I really, really like sex. You know, it feels good to get filled up like that. In fact, one time I went to the gynecologist. Okay, she's getting raw, relatable, and real. Anyways, when the doctor, she put that big metal rod inside of me, I was like, isn't it funny how something that normally feels so good can also feel so bad? Ha ha. She didn't laugh at my joke, so I fully dissociated. I need everyone to laugh at my jokes or I get cosmically depressed. Yas queen. One time in college, I drank so much, I had to go to the hospital. And when I woke up, there were 3 nurses there, and they were all named Tanya. Thank you, Tanyas. I wish them the best. I know I shouldn't put my body to the test, but I always want to feel good, want to fill that void. Thankfully, to do that, I don't even need a toy. I carry a shelf, come with quiet intensity. My hand, I can. Most music sounds like this. Have you been on TikTok? My hand. You're so much a shy, shy, shy. We can make ourselves come with my hand. Use your own hand. We can make ourselves come with our hands. Not now, do it later at home. But still a lot that science doesn't understand. But we can make ourselves come with our hands. How beautiful is that? Thank you so much.
Come join us, Catherine. That was fantastic. Amazing.
Well, you have to say that. Oh, you have God. To say, girls, you have to say that.
I mean, I Love do, you. But I'm being sincere and
I
authentic.
Mean, oh, yeah. Well, thank you. And I mean, thank you. It's so usually after you perform, you're like, oh, bye forever. But now I'm here.
Yeah, I can't wait to see your whole show. Yeah, that's you. For you.
Can I have that?
Yeah.
Oh, my favorite food.
It's poured for you. That's fantastic. I'm
thank
so
you.
Looking forward to your show. I just loved your Netflix special so much.
Oh, thank
I thought
you.
It was so incredibly
so
funny.
Did I.
My favourite joke, which I think of often, is when you say something about someone, a man trying to pick you up or something be cute. And what do you say? I think I know what it is, but I might misquote it and you might hit me.
I think I say something about like, when you're a chubby girl, being picked up is like a nightmare. And I think the joke is that like when I was born, I think the nurse handed me to my mom and I was like, it's okay, you can put me down.
I really relate to that. The fear of someone trying to pick me up and like realizing they can't. It just terrifies me.
Oh yeah, a guy told me like, oh, my bike can hold 100 pounds. And I was like, I'm not 100 pounds. Stone, I don't know. Everyone's mad at me. What's stones?
Oh, 14.
100 pounds is like 14. Rail thin.
Yeah.
Which is also beautiful. All bodies are beautiful.
Yeah, but
I bet the person that knew what borborygmi was knows how many stones there are in 100 pounds.
100 pounds, how many stones? Stone?
Seven.
Seven stone? Yeah, no, I can't get on that man's bike.
I mean, if I saw seven stones, that's very small.
Does he have two bikes?
Yeah.
Because that's what he's going to need.
I hope he's doing well.
He's come around and I will straddle both his bikes. Oh, I'm confessing too much. It's your effect. I love the way that you have such a stream of consciousness and I think the joy of your comedy, Catherine, is how much you say the things that other people think. And I know a lot of it's ironic and a lot of it's kind of a character, but it feels like there's a deeper truth. You know, it's sort of like there's this little deep truth where the only reason it's funny is because there are these truths popping out, or it's like the
worst.
Not
the only reason it's funny, it's also beautifully written and performed. But like, yes.
No, that's totally. It's
obviously not the only reason. It's beautifully written and beautifully performed. No, but that's implied. I think the
It is now. That's fine.
It's explicitly said now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, there is that sort of, I think to me, the greatest art obviously has to be brilliantly written and performed, but also there's something in it that you go, oh, fuck, you know? Like you see it and you identify.
Vulnerability that comes from that.
Yeah.
That's
and
the
I
goal.
Just love, have you always been as brave as you are in the things that you say?
Well, thank you, first of all. And I don't feel brave at all. I mean, it is healing to like, say something vulnerable and hear people laugh. And I'm like, oh, they must have gone through something similar and I'm not crazy. And yeah, when people come to my shows, I just want them to feel less alone, not to be corny. But yeah. Mm.
I think that's what I feel when I watch you. I feel less alone.
I'm glad.
That person doesn't relate and they leave.
They feel
they're
very
like,
alone.
Well, they're probably going to the toilet on their own.
Yeah. Or they're saying your comedy makes me feel more alone. I'm going.
I miss them. I miss that person who left.
There's something about that. When you write your stuff and when you stand up and confess it for the first time, do you ever get stuff where you say it and the audience goes, no, we're not going with you on that one?
Sometimes, yeah. I'm lucky enough, you did my show at Club Cumming years ago in New York, and so I'm lucky enough to do like a weekly show, like a small dive bar, very casual, so I can just kind of throw stuff out and see what sticks. And every now and then I'll say something and it's crickets, and I'm like, so no one's actually ever been through that. Okay.
Yeah, and you just write it off. Because I feel sometimes I have to be really brave to say something, and then the audience go, we will not reward that braveness. We will look at you with judgment, and then I just go, okay, let's pretend it didn't happen and move on.
I think that happens all the time.
Yeah,
I think especially, and if you're a confessional comedian or a performer or whatever, I don't know, do you have this? I think often it helps to start by just telling the story, and later it becomes stand-up, I would say. When actually you've been able to move away from the exact truth, it takes me fucking ages to do that. Sometimes I need to tell the story like 10 times. And you write, they call it writing on stage, but like the first time you're telling it, oh God, I mean, it can really feel just like a TED talk.
Oh, totally. Especially when you're done with the story and you're like, and there's not a punchline yet. So I'll be back in a few months and we'll reconnect.
I find that I often find a punchline on stage just out of desperation.
Mm. Oh, that's the best feeling.
One that I could never write at home, as hard as I tried. But exactly. You're waiting for what Sarah Pascoe calls the punctuation of the laugh. So you thought the laugh was going to come at this point. You wrote a good punchline. No one else agreed.
Ooh. Yeah.
So then you have to go, and I keep talking until you laugh. And then you go, that's the real punchline. Can take out these three sentences. Oh, it's a lovely, as long as they know it's a work in progress. You know, are there parts of the country in America where they go, are there parts that are more fun to tour than others?
Totally. I actually haven't toured a ton. I'm kind of like, I only want to go places that I want to go. No, but I love doing shows in New York and LA and Chicago. And I'm from Texas originally, so I did a show in Houston, my hometown, years ago with lots of my former like religious conservative friends. That was a tough one.
A prophet like, is never accepted in our hometown. It happened to Jesus. It will happen to you.
I knew I'd come here tonight and be compared to Jesus.
Yeah. I would never. No, I'm not comparing you to Jesus. He only had 12 followers. You've got hundreds of thousands, haven't you? Instagram. How many followers have you got on Instagram?
Enough.
Yeah.
No, it's never. It's like, you know what? It's never enough. It's never enough. Out your phones. Get out your.
Get on board.
Be a feminist. Be a feminist and follow me.
Jesus hasn't got a Netflix special.
Jesus hasn't got a Netflix special. He has a Netflix special of the day, which are the Gospels were probably four Netflix specials really of the day.
Yeah.
Wow, four, yeah. It's a lot to live up to.
You'd never get an anthology series away now.
No, not.
Okay, that's a very in-joke. And you can cut that, Tom.
Yeah, cut that, Tom. It's still looking for a punchline. We tried. This is an example. It's an example. What are the things that you've say on stage that or have said that are the most like relatable to an audience that you feel like there's a real connection?
Well, I have a new bit I'm working on about what I call belly access.
Yeah. Oh.
And that's when you're the little spoon and you allow your partner to touch below your boobs and you say, go ahead, like grab it. It's okay. You can have belly access, which for years I was terrified of. So I talked about this on stage and then I posted something about it online. And the outpouring of women being no way, my husband's not getting belly access. Some being like, but we want the bellies. Let us touch the bellies. There's a big conversation happening about belly access.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Fascinating, this one. I do think I allow belly access, but it came by accident because I was offered...
Come on. She was searching for the boob.
I fell...
She told that story before. Did you hear it?
It was, it was very relatable because when you're not wearing a bra, you never know where they're going to be.
They did, yeah. They did. Like
somewhere, behind my shoulder.
Somewhere, they are somewhere in the room. No, I didn't. Now I've made it sound like I sort of like, I tripped and landed with my guts in her hands. No, I had really bad period pain. She was like, maybe I can rub your tummy. And I was like, do you know what? Why not give that a go? Like, it hurts enough to get... And it really was so nice. Mm. It was so, like a hard rub on the bits. And I was like, fuck, that's fucking nice. That's so nice. I'm too old to ask a parent to do that. She's up for it. And then I was like, when I've always wanted belly access. I really love tummies on people. And people that I fancy. I want to get in a tummy. I love tummies. It's really smashing. And then I think access, that sort of opened the door to constant access. And I think...
A backstage pass, it's hard to take it
back. That sounds like a different pass.
Sorry.
That is a...
That's a different conversation.
Really, that's a different conversation.
Sorry. Maybe I should say the VIP room or something. Yeah. But once you've given someone that pass, it's hard to take it back, isn't it? It's hard to go, no, you can't now.
It's so warm. It's so nice and warm.
I like round bellies. I think bellies are... I think there's something...
It's got to be a bit of give. Have you ever had tummy access to someone who's got a six-pack? Because it's weird. It's like... No offense, all bodies are great.
Yeah, all bodies are perfect.
All bodies are great. All bodies that are like freakishly hard nuts are great. It's like trying to snuggle a nut, like a solid, like a tree or a nut. There's got to be some give there. If not, lots of lovely give.
Lots of lovely
inches
give,
of give.
I agree.
Yeah. Right.
You said before there are people in your life that have now banned you talking about them. Have you had that as well?
I overheard that. I was like, ooh. You know, I don't normally talk about my parents ever on stage. But I started doing this like a joke about my mom. But she was like, I loved it. Keep going.
Great.
Really?
She felt very seen by it because my dad does just kind of give us treats and run around. And my mom's like, you know, doing all the hard work.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I run things by my boyfriend before I talk about our sex life.
Is he chill? Ever said, please don't say that about
him? No, I don't think so because he saw me perform before we started dating, so I think he kind of knew what he was getting himself into.
Oh, that's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because if he fancies you and he's watched you on stage, he's hardly then going to say, are you talking about me? Because that's your thing. So he must be okay with it.
I guess so, yeah. We'll see what happens. I know, I really love him. I hope I don't fuck it up.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Do you think, I sort of am starting to wonder if feminism needs more confessionals, because I feel like this desire to be seen as perfect is sort of part of the, it's sort of part of the patriarchy almost.
Yeah.
So like this online, you know, she said a thing, she shouldn't have said the thing, let's all go after her. I'm like, it's all a bit like, it feels patriarchal to me. It feels like we have high standards, impossibly high standards that must always be met. We must all be perfect all the time. I'm like, I don't know that that's serving feminism.
No.
And I think we need to start going, I'm going to pretend to be the way, same way we're trying to now pretend on Instagram, not less, you know, not to sort of only put out pictures of us looking beautiful.
We've got to show our bellies.
Yeah. We've got to show our bellies. It's
we
sort
have.
Of like free
give
the nipple.
Access.
Yeah.
Oh, no, have we got to do belly access on
no.
Instagram?
But
I'm
you know,
not going to do
I've
that.
Been
that's
trying
my
to
confessional.
Allow...
I'm not going to do it.
Deborah, that's a hard no for
I'm
you.
I'm going to confess to you now. I will never, never,
never,
do
never.
That. No. I want to say I will because it would please the crowd, but I cannot get the words out of my mouth.
Totally.
You will never
can't
see...
Can't even pretend.
I'll tell you what. Lying down mm-hmm. from a good angle...
Totally.
Sucked in. I mean, it's all be a lie. You can see it, but you won't see the truth. I'm going to lie to you for the rest
yeah,
of your life.
Yeah, there are different
and mine.
Degrees of truth, aren't there? I'm prepared to have my tummy on a picture stand, like... I don't know. So far, it's been tested like doing PE, like doing handstands. It often flops out. Mm. Or like some types of weightlifting. Like it's just there when your arms go up, your tummy's there in the video. And I've done that. I don't know if I would yet allow a picture of my tummy when, like, if you're doing press ups, then it dangles down like a tube. And that I just have to protect, like, even live in the room, I think, I wonder if anybody's looking at it. Dangling forward like a... Do you know what I mean?
I
do you
exactly
ever get that? Where it just sort of... How does it do that? Like a funnel in the middle.
It's yeah. beautiful.
Is it beautiful?
But I
yes,
find there's a bit
is
of this.
It is beautiful.
I'm curious. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
We're manifesting that. I think... Sometimes I feel like there's a bit of faux confessions online. Like,
yeah.
You know when people post like the crying selfies and they're like, this is real. It's like, okay... Sure. Like, what is that?
When I'm really crying, I never think to take
exactly.
a picture of myself.
Exactly.
I never think, oh, could I get a picture of this from a flattering angle and share it with the world?
Shouldn't be your first thought, I don't
or
think.
Or your last, or
I feel
any
like
ever.
That happened quite a lot. In the first lockdown, where, in
oh
fairness, everybody lost their absolute noodle. But there would be people that are so used to like displaying their life as idyllic. That they would have like this picture of their perfect homeschool with fucking bunting up. Then there'd be like the next room where they've like taken the time to retile their kitchen. Like, and the next room is like, oh, and now the sun shines in my garden. And then, like, just for a little soupçon of realism, the fourth picture would be of them like, I miss strangers. Like, what? That jarred?
Yeah, it's.
I think what they're really weeping about is how ordered their life is
yeah.
and how much that's taken out of them to put up bunting in the schoolroom because they hate their own children. They hate tiling their kitchen. They hate cooking in their kitchen. They hate their whole life. So they've taken pictures of it as if they don't hate it.
Yeah.
And then they've fallen apart and gone, this will make me look relatable.
I would now, love to watch a video of them just smashing up their own house.
Now, I am curious, what is bunting?
Oh.
Okay.
If you never ask, you'll never know.
Yeah. Have you ever met a man and thought, well, that's a lot of red flags?
Yeah.
Okay. What if you strung those red flags together and then the queen was having a special birthday? That would be bunting.
Okay,
it's fabric triangles in a row on string put up like at posh people's fates and fairs and in like... Let's face it, like white middle class people's houses during
lockdown.
Celebratory events.
What does it say?
Oh, usually nothing. It's like
no,
got
but like
gingham or flags or like
what
pretty.
Is it saying to the world?
Yeah, what is
oh,
saying
it saying
oh, metaphorically?
It
says like
it's a festival.
I like the shop Kath Kidson.
Okay.
It says It says...
like that, with a hair flick.
It says, I live in Surrey and I enjoy a wine bar. Have you been... Have you seen there's a new John Lewis on the high street?
Yeah, don't come to Kingston bunting shaming.
No, I'm not. I knew they would have a sense of humour about it. And they did. They responded with great joy at their own bunting.
So is this a bunting crowd?
Oh, fully.
Okay,
cool. Just give us a cheer if you love a bit of bunting. Give us a cheer if you've got bunting. And there's someone, someone's telling on someone. There's someone's like, it's like a police state. They're like, there's bunting here. Are you a bunting?
Got some on, she's wearing some bunting.
Are you a bunting queen?
Yeah, she's
what,
bowing.
What are you saying?
And get a word out.
To bunt, yeah.
To bunt. So can I ask? Bunt. Can I ask our bunting expert? Is it a holiday-centric thing or is it year-round fun? Okay, well it is January.
What? Holiday-centric, but what? I don't have Tory parents. I don't have Tory parents. Just declaring. Just
so you're a cool bunter.
Yeah, you can be
listen,
a cool bunter.
You're not like other bunters.
No judgment for anyone who has Tory parents. Like, that is your parents. And you, if you've got Tory parents and then you've gone, I don't think I agree, I think that's more impressive than if your parents went, you should, you know, love everyone and share your money, and you went, all right.
Yeah, it's easier.
I think it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier, like, to have, you know. So if you've... But listen, your parents are liberal and you still hang bunting. Those things can go together. Yeah.
They contain multitudes.
Yeah. So it's like, if it's like a school fete...
Mm-hmm. And which not, is a party.
No.
What's a fete?
Okay.
But this is where you find out I'm not American, I'm just stupid.
No.
It's organised fun in a field in the English summer.
Organised fun in a field.
And they'll be like, if you want, you can give someone 20p and they'll give you like 3 hard balls and you try and knock a coconut that's been stuck up a stick off. And if you get it off, you get like a voucher or a teddy. Oh, but
it's a fair. It's a fair.
Yeah. Teddy is a small bear that's stuffed.
Yeah.
I just suddenly thought you might not call it that. I don't know what you call it.
I'm good.
But yeah, a fete is like, if it's French
it's
for
a carnival, like a
festival.
Fair.
Is it fete? Yeah. French for festival? Anyway, it's like a party.
Actively leaving the program.
These, yeah.
Can't handle me.
Fete.
They're off to a fete.
They've just remembered they need to arrange a jar full of sweets that they know exactly how many is in.
Yeah. That's something you do at a fete. You'd put
you guess in how many items are in
325 hey. Sweets in a jar, and then people have to guess what number they think, and then the one who guesses right wins.
I got it.
Simple. It's always a savant.
72.
Yeah.
This is. Go. I already told you there were 325. Guess 72. So I'm just like, you're way off. You're way off.
Jet lags.
You do not win that jar of sweets. I'm so sorry. You do not win the jar of sweets. Jessica Fostercute, you've got anything to plug?
Yes, I'm doing a few more last ever shows of Wench at the Soho Theatre in London.
It's so from, good if you haven't seen it.
Thanks, Debs. From the 8th to the 11th of March. And then one last ever Wench where I'm filming it in Bristol with brilliant Jen Brister, another regular on this podcast, on the 29th of March at the Tobacco Factory in Bristol. And we'll be filming both our shows back to back, so you'll get like 2 shows in one night, and we'll have a big party fun night after.
Amazing. So both of those sound delightfully accessible from Kingston. You could either jump on the train to go to the Soho Theatre, or I don't know how to get from Kingston to Bristol. If I wanted to get there, I wouldn't start from here, but... It is, I'm sure, for that night out, you could rent a room in Bristol, couldn't you? Get a room. Catherine Cohen, tell us, what would you like us to do, follow, hear about, listen to, go see?
Well, I'm so excited. I'm doing my first ever UK tour.
Excellent.
Starting Wednesday. So please tell your friends to get tickets. I'm going to Norwich, Leeds, Manchester, Birmingham,
Brighton,
Glasgow, and London. And if you follow me on Instagram at Kat C. Cohen, you can link in bio, baby, or Google it, you know. But yeah, please come see me. I'd love to see you, each and every one of you there.
So, Kat with a C, and then C. Cohen.
Yes.
Is the closest show to Kingston, London?
I assume. I don't know where I am, but.
Okay. Did anyone hear a town that was closer? What's your London venue?
The London show is at Hackney Empire.
On Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, we should all go. Can I go on Friday, Tom? Don't know. He's got the diary. I don't know. I'll have to look and see if I really want to go and see that. Hackney Empire is such a fantastic venue. So why don't we all go together on Friday night? Are there any tickets left for Hackney Empire?
Yeah, there's a few tickets left, and I'll have my piano player with me, so lots of music and fun.
That'll be fantastic. Okay, enjoy. And could you just say the date? Because when you say Wednesday...
Oh, right. February 1st, the tour starts in Norwich. February 3rd is the Hackney show in London.
Great. And check out Catherine Cohen's website for more dates and details. Also, listen to her podcast. Watch her Netflix special. Follow her on the socials.
Oh, yeah.
Just generally get involved.
Be part of my community.
Exactly. Be part of the Catholic. If you go to New York, check out Club Cumming. She has a regular night. You have been an absolutely wonderful audience, Kingston. Thank you so much. Can I have a huge, huge round of applause for my incredible co-pilot, Jessica Foster-Gue? Thank you. My wonderful guest, Catherine Cohen. Everyone here at the Rose Theatre, sorry we've run over a tiny bit. Big thanks to the staff of the Rose Theatre. And, of course, a huge round of applause for Maria and Anthony. Is it Anthony? Athene. Maria and Athene, was it in fact for you?
They left.
I thought they'd pipe down.
What happened?
Really funny. That's
do
really
you know,
funny.
When did they leave?
It wasn't for them.
Oh, no, she had an asthma attack. Oh, no.
This keeps taking such bad turns.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry to hear that. I hope she's okay. Was that Athene that had it? Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. They were the stars of the show. I did think they were quieter. Oh, no, I hope she's all right. Okay, all right. Well, that reached a...
Fucking hell.
Okay, good night. That reached a phenomenal peak. We were really peaking there.
Yeah.
Laughing, cheering, feeling the spirit. Listen, guys, thank you so much for coming out and fighting the patriarchy with us, one joke at a time. We've got more shows coming up, and we've got loads of podcasts to listen to. It would really help us if you could rate, review, and subscribe. Even if you've done it before, you can do it for every episode. Give it 5 stars, and if you could share it, tell people about it on the WhatsApp groups, on the socials, we'd really love that. Or even with your face to a human. Okay. Thank you. Oh, can I just also say a big round of applause for Jonkel, who does our Patreon. She's absolutely amazing. She's in the audience tonight. She's a Surrey local. That's right. Do you have bunting, Jonkel?
Not this week.
Not this week. Okay. When we come back, next time we come back to Kingston, we'd love to come back. Could you do some bunting for the stage? Thank you very much. You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Frances White, guest co-host Jessica Foster-Gue, and our very special guest, Catherine Cohen. The recording engineer was Grundy the Zimbra. Music was by Mark Hobbs. The producer was Tom Selitsky from the Spontaneity Shop. Thanks to Rachel Kaufman, Gina Dizio, Zainab Ahmed, and everyone at the Rose Theatre, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com. Thank you so much, everybody. We have been The Guilty Feminist. I've been Deborah Frances White. Good night. I think that was the patriarchy that I just stepped on. Because if it was, I smashed it. Oh, something's crackling underneath my foot. Oh, something interesting is going on there. We'll explore it. Is there a man in the house? And it just shout out if you're a cisgendered man. It's all right. It's not a witch hunt. It's fine. If you could just investigate what goes on there, what went on there while we do feminism. Make yourself useful. Seriously, if you're a man, just give us a cheer. Woo! Excellent. Lovely. Thank you.
The Guilty Feminist is provided exclusively from Acast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.